What I'd like to talk about is something that came up in my daily Bible reading, and I typically am trying to go through the Bible in about, I don't know, 2 or 3 years, the rate I'm going, but I don't do well, as I've told you before, with large portions of Scripture. I love to take just a small phrase and just kind of meditate on it and think about it. And so in my Scripture reading, and it was in 1 Samuel chapter 14, and if you have a Bible with you, I encourage you to go there, because I'm going to kind of talk about some of the things that were happening in that chapter to help us understand this one little phrase. And I was very curious what it meant. Of course, we know that a lot of our King James Bible has Old English, and so sometimes we have to look things up because of that. And so it's at the end of verse 19, we see this short little phrase that says, "Withdraw thine hand." So I was reading that daily Bible reading, I thought, what does that mean? Withdraw thine hand. So let's do a little bit of a Bible story here. Let's talk about, this may not be a more well-known Bible study, Bible story, but let's look at it. So verse 2 tells us that King Saul tarried. Now, if we go back another chapter, we find out that Saul's not doing very well spiritually. And it kind of is surprising to me. If you look at chapter 13, he's only in his second year of reigning, if I understand this correctly. It's not like he reigned, it's not like Samson, wow, I kept wanting to say Samuel. Samson, he ruled for 20 years, and then we read all these things that he had problems with. Here we see that King Saul, he's having trouble early in his reign. So he was told by the prophet Samuel, I'm going to come, we're going to have a sacrifice, and I need you to wait on me. And Saul's not very good at waiting. He was very impulsive and rash. And so when Samuel didn't come as fast as he thought, he offered it himself. And that was not his place. He was clearly out of place to do that. So as we're coming here into chapter 14, Saul's not in a good place spiritually. He's not been doing what God told him to do. So it says he's tarrying. Now they've been fighting with the Philistines, and Saul's not really sure, now what should I do now? What should I do next? So we see that he tarried. Well, while he's tarrying, his son Jonathan, who is a wonderful Bible character to study, very godly young man, he and his armor bearer say, you know what, let's go. Let's go take care of this. Let's get busy. And so they climb up this precipice, which is, it's going to be a surprise attack because the Philistines are not going to expect them to come in that way. It's going to be very, it's inaccessible. It was considered inaccessible. And so Saul's son, Jonathan, and his armor bearer, they climb up, they attack the Philistines. They're surprised, they're panic-stricken. Not only that, but God sends a little earthquake along to help them out. So there's a big old fight going, and the Philistines are not winning. These two men, Jonathan and his armor bearer, and they're fighting the Philistines. And the Philistines, there's confusion, there's panic. And so Saul's watchmen, they can see it's kind of like a ravine. I believe it was about 2 miles. But because it was a ravine, they could see something's going on. And so they tell King Saul, there's something going on there. It looks like the Philistines they're discomfited. They are panic-stricken. And so we see Saul, he actually makes a good decision here in verse 18. And he asks the priest, so Ahiah, the priest. He says, bring forth the Ark of God. I need to inquire from God. What should I do? And it's believed that this actually was maybe like the ephod, and we're going to learn about that when we do our tabernacle study, which is the priest, part of the priest's garments. And he brought it, so when he came with that, he wanted the priest to inquire, what does God want me to do? Should I go and fight the Philistines while they're getting ready to be on the run and victory is already starting to happen? Should I join in with that fight, take my army down there? I mean, that sounds logical. That sounds like the best thing to do. And Saul is inquiring of the Lord. But while he's talking to the priest, right in the middle of this conversation, the noise over there with the Philistines gets greater and the confusion gets greater. So somehow or another, God is giving a great victory to Jonathan and the armor bearer. And right in the middle of inquiring of the Lord, we read verse 19. And it came to pass, while Saul talked unto the priest, that the noise was in the host of the Philistines, and it went on and it increased. And Saul said to the priest, withdraw thine hand. Now, either the priest had both hands up as he's praying to God, or he's reaching in the pouch because there was something called the Urim and the Thummim, and that was a way, something they used to discern the will of God, and we will endeavor to learn more about that later. So something with his hand, he's in the middle of trying to communicate with God. And Saul is like, wait a minute, never mind. It's time to fight, not time to pray. Victory's happening. We got to get down there and help and get busy. No time to pray. I can discern what needs to be done here. Never mind. I can see what needs to happen. And so, you know, when you study something and you read something in the Bible, these things were written for our example. There's another scripture that says for our ensample, which means example. These are written down for us to learn from. It's not just, well, that's history. That's a good story. I wonder what happened next. No, it's for us to learn from. And so I thought, what does that mean? What lesson could happen? So there's some serious things in all our lives. If not right this minute, there has been in the past, or there's some coming in the future. True?
True.
So out there, the Philistines fighting, something serious is happening. You got serious decisions to make. Some of you got to decide about what you're going to do after high school. We got some seniors in here about ready to get to graduate. You got to make some decisions about what are you going to do. Are you going to go to college? Are you going to go to trade school? Are you going to get a job? What kind of a job? Some of you are on the verge of getting married. You got some big decisions that you're about ready to make. Perhaps you found the right one, but you might have to figure out where you're going to live. And there's some decisions that you will have to make as a couple. You're going to come and bring two different ways of living together. Even in the Church of God, different families have different ways. And so there's going to be some decisions that you're going to have to make as you put that family together. There might be decisions about how to handle difficulties. Maybe you've got some problems that have arisen and you're not really sure. So there's serious things ahead. Serious things. Now, do we go through the motions? I know I should pray about this. Lord, you see, I like this guy and I like this girl and I really would like to date them and they're pretty special and, I'd really like to go to college. It's been a dream of mine for a long time and you see these decisions and you know what I want to do and I've been praying about it for a long time and it seems like a good fit, Lord. So you go through the motions. You go and you do what you know you're supposed to. Going through the motions is not wrong if your heart's in it. But what about if in the middle of that, you like Saul, you say, you know what? Never mind, God, I'm pretty sure I know what I'm supposed to do. You didn't wait for God's answer. You said, withdraw thine hand. Never mind. Oh, my heart. You know, when I'm with that guy, my heart just beats so fast. And I just feel so excited. I'm sure that's the right one. My heart beats really fast when Brother Steve goes around curves fast. That has nothing to do with him being the right one. He's just scaring me half to death. I know. He was talking about me this morning, so I will say amen to what he was saying. Sometimes we might say, I would be a good fit for that career choice or for that job. You know, I took these classes in school, this test, and it showed my aptitude was for this, and I've got teachers that are really encouraging me to go to this career path. And I just feel, we've been talking about feelings a lot in here lately, super duper unreliable, right? Yes. And we could say, I'm just sure. I've had some really educated people. I've got people at school that, they seem to know what they're talking about. And they're really encouraging me to do these things. That, I prayed about it, but I'm pretty sure I know. I'm pretty sure I can discern what I'm supposed to do. And then we get up from our prayer. Okay, well, I did pray about it. Well, yeah, Saul also went and asked the priest for help. But he didn't wait for an answer from the Lord. There's a song that says, pray and wait for an answer. Nobody likes to wait. I don't like to wait, and you probably don't like to wait. Sometimes when I get done praying, it's like, okay, I say amen, and I want to get right up because I've got stuff to do, places to go, things to take care of. And I'm like, what if I just stayed here for a minute, and I was totally quiet, and I wait? The psalmist said, be still and know that I am God. Not only be still here. To hear from God. Does it matter? Let's look at the story of Saul and see, did it really matter? that he didn't wait for an answer. He did inquire of the Lord, but he didn't wait to hear what God had to say. So this seems obvious to Saul. The Philistines are losing. I need to get this army down there, and we need to defeat them. That is surely God's will. These heathen Philistines, we need to drive them out of here. That's surely God's will. I can discern that's God's will. Now, he didn't discern it from the Holy Spirit. He just discerned it within himself. So let's see. The story continues. Let's look at the rest of the story and see how that turned out for Saul. So verse 24, we see Saul in his exuberance, and he's not got God's direction. He issues a very unwise command to his soldiers. He says, "Cursed be the man that eateth any food until evening, until I," we see some pride there, don't we? "May be avenged on mine enemies." And so none of the people tasted any food. What's wrong with that scripture? What's wrong with that command? What is unwise about what Saul just said? Any takers? He just told a fighting army to fast for the whole day. Don't eat. What's the problem? No strength. You're going to fight. You're going to need some strength. This is not the time for fasting. Maybe Saul could have fasted, but his men need strength. So he's setting them up for failure. He said, "Cursed be the man." Now, his son Jonathan, verse 27, did not know the command. He didn't know about it. He was over fighting down there across the valley. He's already in the fight. He doesn't know about this. And Jonathan comes up on some honey just there by the side of the road. And he ate it. And the scripture said he was strengthened, said enlightened. You're ever big tired and you just can't hardly even see. And you're just sluggish. And then you eat and you're like, oh, okay. It's like your eyes popped open. Now I can get things done. I got some energy. Jonathan had energy and he had strength. And some people said, "Oh, Jonathan, you know what your dad said? King Saul said, don't do that. You're going to be put to death." It was such a strong command. Jonathan tells them in verses 29 through 30, "This is a very unwise command. If the people weren't so weak from fasting, they could have had a greater victory. They could have kept after those Philistines and even had a greater victory than they already did." Jonathan realized it was a very unwise decision. Saul's acting in his own thinking, his own strength. So verse 32, the people are so hungry. They're trying to obey their king. They're fighting this great fight. They're so hungry when they come on the Philistines' camp, they just begin to eat whatever they can. They kill the animals and eat them right there raw. While God had dietary laws, and they were not to eat the animal with the blood still in it. So because of Saul's foolish commandment, he's causing these people to sin, to disobey the law of God. They're so hungry, they're not even stopping to think about what they're doing wrong. Now, Saul continues to be hasty in his decision making. Seems to be a character trait here. Verse 36. The priest of God's like, "You know, King Saul, let's go back and talk to God. Let's draw nigh. Let's draw hither to God and ask for direction." And so Saul heeded that. Okay. All right. Let's go ask God. What do you want us to do? But you know what? God didn't answer. And the lesson we can learn is if you are in disobedience and you have not made things right, but you're still going to God, just plowing over top of that. "Yeah, I didn't do what I was supposed to. I didn't obey my parents. I know I've been acting like I shouldn't. I've been disobeying." But you go right over that. "We're not going to talk about that, Lord. Now, Lord, you see this test I have Monday, and it's algebra, and it's really hard, and I could use some help on that." Do you think the Lord's listening? He is listening, but is he going to talk to you? Is he going to answer that prayer? See, God, when disobedience or sin, it comes between you and God. You're no longer in fellowship with God. And so we see here Saul seeking God, and God isn't answering. There's sin in the camp. Saul realizes that. Well, there's sin. Let's see who has sinned. Who ate something they shouldn't have? Saul did not do any reflecting. Here's this as a mirror, right? Didn't look at the mirror out and see, wonder if I did something wrong. What if I'm hindering? What if the reason why God didn't talk to me is because of me. No, Saul starts looking around. Surely it's somebody else's fault that I'm in so much trouble. Surely it's somebody else's fault that things aren't going well in my life. There's a temptation to do that sometimes. Things don't go right. Well, you know, if my sister hadn't turned the alarm off and I wouldn't have overslept, we wouldn't have had this bad day. And if my friend hadn't told my deepest secret to somebody else, I wouldn't be having such a bad time. And it's so easy just to start getting that magnifying glass out and looking. Well, Saul starts looking around. And lo and behold, he comes to find out somebody has sinned. And he says, you know what? Whoever that is, they're going to die. Even if it's my son, Jonathan. At that point, he didn't know his son, Jonathan. Even if it's my son, Jonathan, he's going to have to die. Now, do you remember when King Saul was told to completely destroy the Amalekites? Thank you. Completely destroy the Amalekites. Did he do that? Did he completely destroy them? Who'd he spare? Predominantly, the wicked king, Agag. But he won't spare his own son, who was a very righteous young man. You see, it's almost like there's this power. I've got to be in full control and power. And we know that later on, he had experiences with madness or an evil spirit would come on him, not thinking straight. But what a comparison. He would spare a wicked, pagan, ungodly king against God's commandment. But he won't spare his own son because it goes against Saul's commandment. Quite a comparison there. So, the people intervened. Let me go back up. So, they did find out. They cast lots. They found out that it was Jonathan who unknowingly had disobeyed the king's command. And Saul didn't say, oh, wow, that's my son. You know, we got to have mercy here, guys. He's the reason why we have this great victory. He had so much boldness. He climbed up that steep precipice. The scripture says on his hands and knees, and his armor bearer, he's coming behind him. Okay, Jonathan, whatever you do, I'll follow along here. Jonathan's the whole reason for this victory. And the king, you would have thought he'd had mercy. I kind of wonder, do you remember when David came back from battle and there was a song being sung about David? Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. And what did Saul do? What did he become? Jealous. Very jealous. Is there a possibility? I don't know. Scripture doesn't say it. His son is the reason they just had this amazing victory. Could there be a little bit of jealousy? I don't know. We know that Saul was an insecure, jealous man. Definitely we see here, maybe we could even sound a bit on a power trip. So I think about what application can be brought from this. As we look at this account here in 1 Samuel, we know that when we're faced with decisions, important decisions, critical decisions, we know, we're told, you've got to pray. You've got to get counsel. Go to your parents. Go to your spiritual leaders. Go to your pastor. Go to your Sunday school teacher. Ask for direction. And so we do that. We go to prayer. We're asking for counsel. But like I said, then sometimes our emotions take over. But I really feel like that's what I'm supposed to do. Even though Brother Steve said that's not a good idea. And even though my pastor preached and, he was hitting on that. But I don't think he knows what he's talking about because I feel like it's right. Now, yes, we know salvation has feelings and God can work through our feelings. We talk about sometimes feeling impressed to do something. But if we're not careful, we put aside that prayer. We put aside that counsel. And we say, I just feel like this is the right decision. And we could be a little bit like Saul and say, I can discern what needs to be done here. I'm not going to pray anymore about it. I told many people that after a 5.5-year I can't say courtship because we were not allowed to date for 2 years of that. But after 5.5 years of liking Brother Steve, we finally got married. I prayed, asking God to help me make sure he was the right one, clear up to the wedding. Now, maybe not the week of the wedding. I can't tell you for sure when I stopped praying, but pretty close to. I wanted to make sure. Oh, I felt like he was the right one. I feel strongly in those teen years that he was the right one. But I wanted to make sure. What if Saul had stayed there with that priest? Yes, that sure looks like the right decision. I can't imagine God wanting us to do anything else. But I want to make sure. I want to make sure. Instead, he said, withdraw thine hand. I don't need to pray anymore. I've prayed enough. And for a time, things seemed to go well. Saul and his army went in there and they had a great victory. But I just told you some of the things that happened afterwards. What if decisions we make against God's will, because we didn't wait, what if it could cause people that we care about to make wrong choices? Like the people of Israel, when they ate those animals raw. They were so hungry, they didn't even take time to cook them. And that was a wrong choice because of what Saul had done. So I thought about, we're talking about withdraw thine hand. Let's end on a positive note. Let's talk about waiting. Are there a couple of scriptures? And of course, there are many scriptures about it. And I thought about Psalm 69 and 2. Might be a good one to start with. And then we'll end on a positive note. Psalm 69 and 2 says, I am weary of my crying. My throat is dried. I've cried so much I can't cry anymore, is what he was saying. Mine eyes fail while I wait for my God. Hope maybe some of you have been there before. I have prayed and prayed and prayed about this, and I can't get an answer. But God's going to answer. Sometimes he wants to see how earnest you are. Are you really in earnest? Are you just praying and passing? And so Psalm 27 and 14, I'd like to end on. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. Now, it's going to take courage to wait. You keep praying about it. You hold steady. Lord, I'm not going to make any big decisions till I hear from you. And there's a promise. He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. So, again, withdraw thine hand is the title of my lesson. Just one little phrase in the Bible. But yet, what a lesson can be learned from that. The danger, even if we pray, even if we get counseling, if we don't wait for the Lord, we can certainly make a mess. And not only affect ourselves, but affect people that we greatly care about.